You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark, the fourth chapter. I want to talk to you tonight just a subject about selective hearing. Everybody say selective hearing. You know, we're kind of that way. Some things we hear real well and some things we don't hear real well. I get tickled at some people, and that people even say things about their parents as they get older. You know, they're hearing, you know, sometimes goes out. And you'll listen to some of those people talk about mama or talk about daddy and say, well, she hears more than you think she does. You know, she's just acting like she's not hearing certain things or whatever. And, you know, we do kind of tune things out, don't we? Kids are the same way. You know, kids, you'll get on to them and they'll act like they didn't hear a thing. And you know they heard it. And husbands and wives sometimes do the same thing. You know, it's kind of like the husband and wife were laying in bed reading, and husband was reading, the wife was talking, and she finally just elbowed him and said, hey, are you not listening to me at all? You act like I'm not even talking over there. And he says, oh, no, honey, you keep talking. It helps me concentrate when I'm reading. You know, so we tune things out. We tune sounds out. We tune people out. And there's a reason for that. And I think it comes down to we don't always value every voice the same. And we don't always put a lot of faith in every voice the same. And so, you know, if you want to hear God more and you want to understand more about the Lord, then you're going to have to put more faith in God and put more value in what He has to say. Now, if I were up here giving you a seminar on, say, stocks and, you know, how to invest in the stock market, and if I told you you'd take $10 and if you'll come tonight and you'll come next week and you'll come next week and we'll go over this, we're going to make this simple. We're going to talk about the stock market, how it works. Just with $10, you can make $1,000 in 1 month. Well, I'll tell you what, everybody be on the edge of their seats. Are you with me? You be taking notes, you be listening, trying to figure this out, intently paying attention because there's value. I got you. You know, I got you here. There's something you want out of this. There's a benefit to it. So having faith in that, when we go to seminars or we go to take courses in school or classes or whatever for a purpose, for employment's sake, for work's sake, to increase our finances, whatever the case may be, we're paying a lot of attention because we put value in what we're hearing and we trust that this is going to benefit us. Well, man, that should be the way we are every time we get in the Word. Because you never know what nugget's going to jump at you. This is like a gold mine here. You're going to run across a nugget that's to change your life forever. One Lord, one scripture, one promise, one word can change your life forever. And so we ought to put value when we come to church especially and open up the Bible. Put a huge value on what we're hearing. It'll help us hear better. It'll improve our hearing. Amen. Now notice this, what it says. Mark 4 chapter, found it, 24th verse. Now, I'm reading out a New Living Translation, but I mean you can follow along in whatever translation you have. Mark 4, 24, Jesus speaking, he added, pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But for those who are not listening, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. Wow, isn't that something? So now it's not just on the preacher. Hello. It's also on the listener. Jesus himself saying it's not just on him. It's on the person listening to him. You know, it's not just what's on the table. It's what you bring to the table. Sometimes we come to the table, we don't even have silverware. We walk away and don't even get a bite. The table's set. There's plenty there. But we didn't bring anything to the table. See, we got to come to the table ready. We got to come with something, see, with an expectancy, as it were. You know, I think about Jesus in his own hometown. He wasn't even received in his own hometown. In fact, they made fun of him. They said, man, this is Joseph's son. This is the carpenter's son. We know his brothers and his sisters. Who does he think he is? And it says he could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. Wow. You mean God was limited, his hands were tied? Yeah, we can tie God's hands and we can limit him by our lack of faith. And if we don't put trust or faith in what God says, then the full benefit of what God's saying, we're not going to get it. I don't want to just read through the scripture. I don't want to just go through the motions here. I don't want to just show up in church Sunday morning, Wednesday night, and you know, read my Bible every day and do all that just as a religious service. I think that there should be some benefit from that. God told us to do that so he could bless us. So I should do those things with an expectancy. I should come intently listening, knowing this is going to help my marriage, it's going to help my business, it's going to help my family, it's going to help my health, it's going to help my emotional makeup. Hallelujah. Are you with me? It's an expectancy. We hear what we want to hear. I really believe that. If you want to hear God, you can. If you want to get more out of the Scripture, you can, but you're going to have to put more value and faith in the Scripture in order to hear more out of the Scripture. Amen? We can develop hearing in areas, in fact, we do develop our hearing in areas that we're interested in. And I know lots of guys, they don't read books, but, you know, they read sports magazines or hunting magazines or whatever. You know, in my generation growing up, there's guys that could stand on the side of the road. Bobby might know some people like this. Car go by, and they tell you what kind of engine was in that car, just by the car going by, because they had tuned their hearing in so much. They had listened so, that revving that engine up and working on those engines, that the car could just drive by, and they could tell you exactly what kind of carburetor had in it, you know, and what size engine it was, you know, what make, model, and so on and so forth, because they had spent time, they were interested, are you with me? They had spent a lot of time meditating, listening to these engines, cranking them up, and when they're running right and not running right. And that's why a good mechanic, you can walk in there, he can listen to that engine, tell you, oh, you got a problem here, you got a vacuum problem or something. You know, he's got an ear for it. Because this is money to a mechanic. Are you with me? So, whereas you might not pay attention, he's paying a lot of attention to the sounds those engines make and what those cars and trucks do, because, see, this turns into cash for him, so he's paying attention. Paying attention. You might not care one way or the other, but boy, it means something to a mechanic. See, what we're interested in, we develop an ear for. Pure and simple. Amen? You know, I want to hear God. How about you? I'd like to hear God more. Well, I'm going to have to put more value in what he says. I'm going to have to spend time listening to him so I can discern between what's him speaking and just me or the world, you know. That takes some effort, some discipline, and some focus. To him that have ears to hear, let him hear. You know what Jesus says. So we got to concentrate and try not to be distracted. I think the devil's biggest thing he's got is distractions, isn't it? Really, it just tries to knock us off focus, get us off the word, get us off the promise, get us on something, you know, some tragedy, some bad report, some feeling that we're going through, or something on the news, or some relative that went under with the same thing we got. Instead of keeping our focus on what God says, he distracts us. And so what happens is we're not hearing what God's saying because there's so many voices. And there are. There's a lot of voices in the world. What you have to do is center in on one, God's, his word, and develop an ear for God. Develop an ear for his word. Put value in it. Realize it's going to help you. And I believe that our desire for what is being said determines how well we hear what's being said. Are you out there? Our faith in what's being said and our faith in who's saying it determines how much attention we pay to what is being said. And our ability and our capacity to hear boils down to that. It boils down to our faith and our trust and our value that we put in what's being said. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2. This is a good one. As you turn there, just think about how you're affected by what you center in on and what you focus in on. And I've said this many times. You take kids that follow rock stars or, you know, or follow movie stars or whatever. They begin to dress like them. They begin to talk like them. They begin to act like them. I mean, you can't watch Duck Dynasty and you start talking just like those guys. I mean, you know, come on. Of course, you know, The problem here is that most of us talk like them anyway in East Texas. You know, I'm thinking, you know, I'm from East Texas, deep East Texas, center Texas, and they talk just like those guys anyway. I'm looking at my relatives on there when I'm watching Duck Dynasty. But you hang around someone long enough, you're going to talk like them, focusing on them. You know, don't turn there, but Psalms 106, verse 20, talks about how the children of Israel made a calf, a golden calf in Horeb. After they came out of Egypt, Moses went on the mountain and got the Ten Commandments. And while he was up there, they started getting antsy because Moses was gone 40 days. And they said, we want to make an island and worship it. And Aaron, of all people, Moses' brother, said, okay, fine, bring me your gold. And so he fashioned and formed this golden calf, and they began to worship this golden calf. And we're partying and everything, and Moses comes off the mountain after 40 days and sees them worshiping this golden calf. And the Bible says he threw the commandments down, and he broke all 10 of them one time. The only man ever break all 10 commandments at one time. And then he melted the calf down, threw it in the water, and made him drink the water. Aaron said, I don't know how that calf got there. We just threw that gold in, and a calf jumped out. That's not what happened. He formed it and fashioned it. But it's interesting in Psalms 106, verse 20, it says, they made a calf in Horeb, and thus they changed their glory into the similitude of the likeness of an ox that eateth the grass. So your glory is changed into what you worship. No question. If you worship the world, it's going to affect your glory. It's going to affect your similitude and your likeness. If you worship rock stars, you're going to be talking like the rock stars. If you worship ungodly people, then you're going to become an ungodly person. That's just the way it is. Are you with me? You tune in and hear that thing that you look up to, that you worship, that you put faith and trust in. Are you out there? That's why we need to put our faith and our trust in God and look up to God and His Word, because I want to be like that. I don't want to be like the world. But if you trust the world, you're going to turn into the world. If you worship the world, you're going to become just like the world. And you know what? You won't even be able to hear God because you're so tuned in to the world, that's all you can hear. Wow. Don't want to close my eyes to God or close my ears to God. I want to close my eyes and ears to the world and open my eyes and ears to God. But that's going to take effort, and that's going to take some worship. I'm going to have to worship Him. I'm going to have to focus in on Him. Because I'm going to turn into what I'm worshiping. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to become God, but I will become more God-like if I worship God. I will be more Christ-like if I worship Jesus, which is what the Bible tells us we ought to do. Amen? Okay, notice this, just to give you an idea of what we're talking about here. 1 Corinthians 2, if you go through there, he starts out in the ninth verse and talks about eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And he goes on, he talks about how that the Spirit of God reveals to us truth, and how that we have received the Spirit of God, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. He makes this point. And that's, this chapter just brings it on down. In fact, it's interesting because it's talking about the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man. He talks about the world, the princes of this world, Satan and his cohorts. They would never have crucified Jesus had they known that He was going to come back out of the grave alive. He said the prince of this world would not have crucified the Lord of glory had they known. They would not have done that. But it just goes to show, I have not seen, ears not heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things that God prepared for them that love Him, but God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. For His Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. What man knows the spirit of things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man except by the Spirit of God. If you're not listening to the Spirit, you're not going to hear what God's saying. You're not going to know anything about the things of God. The princes of this world had listened to the devil, and that's all they knew, and so they couldn't hear God, and they didn't have the wisdom of God. They had the wisdom of man. Had they known, they would not have crucified Jesus. Are you with me? And then he goes on down, and he says in the 14th verse, this is interesting, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually understood or discerned. Think about it. You can talk to a man all day long about healing. If he thinks it's just silly and foolish, he's not going to receive any of it because he doesn't trust in it. Are you with me? You can talk to an atheist all day long about Jesus. If he's determined not to believe in God and he doesn't believe in Jesus, not going to believe Jesus came and rose again, that he didn't really, that's all a lie. You know, if he thinks that's silly and that's foolish, he's not going to hear you. Why? because he doesn't trust in what you're saying. Is that right? See, there's churches filled with people that love God, but they don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They don't believe in God's ability to do supernatural things anymore. They believe it might have happened 2,000 years ago, but doesn't happen today. So they just have a dull, deaf ear to anything that you bring up along those lines. Are you with me? And sometimes we can do the same thing. We're deaf to God helping us because for some reason we've been convinced that God's just not going to help us. We're selective hearing. See, you just tune it out. Well, I don't want to be that way. Amen? Nothing in God's word is foolishness to me. And none of his promises are way out there and crazy. They're all yes and they're all amen. Amen? And when I read the Bible, I put great value on the Bible when I read it. I put great, great value. I worship God who is speaking to me through the Bible. And I'm listening very intently to what he is saying. Because what he's saying is of great value to me. It's going to change my life forever. It's what keeps me on top of the situation. Keeps my marriage together. Amen? And right on down the list. If there's no faith in what's being said, you're not going to hear what's being said. How many people just go to church and church after church after church, and it's just kind of their duty? They couldn't more tell you what the preacher preached that Sunday, the Sunday before. They could probably tell you what was in the bulletin. They could probably tell you about so-and-so was wearing across the aisle. But they couldn't tell you what the preacher preached, because that really wasn't why they came. They came because they're supposed to go to church. We just ought to go to church, you know. Well, we go to church for a reason. The reason is to get close to God, to worship God, and to hear from heaven. To fellowship with each other in God, and to hear from heaven. Hallelujah. And so we ought to walk out just talking about it all week long, applying it to our lives and so on and so forth. But we won't hear what God has to say to us if we don't come with that expectancy or put that kind of value on what God has said. Amen? Hey, 2 Corinthians 10. Turn there. This helping you? I wish I could hear better. I wish I could hear God better. Well, you can. Develop your faith in God, you develop your hearing. Develop your worship of God, you'll develop your hearing. Can you say amen, somebody? I love this 2 Corinthians 10. In fact, I was going to, if I can find it here, I'm going to read another translation for you. 2 Corinthians 10. You know, back in CB days, y'all remember CB days? This was the big 10:4. 2 Corinthians 10:4. Okay, y'all not going to be a lot of help tonight, are you? I can tell. 10:4, good buddy. Anyway, huh? That is so old. Well, now everybody here knows about it. Y'all remember CB. You know, come on. What was that? Oh, Mo's going, what was that? What was that? What was that? You guys, I'm telling you. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 10:3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to flesh. Make sense? Okay. Your enemy's not your husband or your wife. It's not your children or your parents, not your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, your son-in-law, daughter-in-law. That's not your enemy. We don't war in the flesh. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The big 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Everybody say strongholds. These strongholds he's talking about here are in your mind. Okay? This is, in one sense, spiritual warfare, but he's not really talking about pulling down demons, devils, spirits in this verse. He's talking about the mind. I do believe we have authority over the devil, and I believe we can cast out devils, no question. I know no question that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, rulers of the darkness of the world. Are you with me? Ephesians 6:12 tells us that. But most of that battling is not directly with them. It's just standing on the word and them trying to get us to not stand on the word. Most of our battling with the devil comes down to submitting to God and resisting the devil. Not necessarily confronting the devil all the time. He's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere at one time. Most of the time what's going on in your life is not directly the devil. It's indirectly one of his cohorts. Hello. But if you stand on the word, hallelujah, and you believe God, then the devil's got to go. You resist him steadfast in the faith. That's what the Bible says. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Amen? So here in this context, he's talking about the mind, our focus, what we think on. And he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God or through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and arguments and reasoning and logic, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Like that natural man couldn't receive anything from God because it was foolishness to him. In his mind, he was convinced that this was just all a bunch of craziness, you know, all this gifts of the Spirit, things of the Spirit. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually understood. Well, see, you got to crowd that out and cast that thought down that tells you it's foolish to believe God and stand on God's Word and trust God. Those thoughts that come, this stuff doesn't work and it's just a bunch of junk, oh, you got to cast that down. You got to crowd that out. You got to cast down that logic, that argument that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. God says you can. The devil says you can't, or reasoning and logic says you can't. You need to cast the I can't down and exalt the I can, because God says you can. Are you with me? You got to be selective about what you hear and what you pay attention to and give your ear to. Because you that have will more be given. If we're in a habit of listening to what God has to say, we're going to hear more of what God has to say. If we're in a habit of listening to what the devil has to say, you know what? We're going to hear more of what the devil has to say. So, he says, cast down arguments and imaginations, and every high thing exalts itself to the knowledge of God, against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. We are the ones that have got to cast those imaginations down. God's not going to do it. He's waiting for us to do it. He's telling us to do it. And we've got to still those voices in our head, and we've got to captivate our thoughts. Now, this is interesting, the Phillips translation. Love this. In the Phillips translation, it says, our battle is to bring down every deceptive fantasy and every imposing defense that men erect against the true knowledge of God. We even fight to capture every thought until it acknowledges the authority of Christ. Man, I like that. Because what we're talking about is either God's right or this other thought's right. Either what God says is right or what the world says is right. What my flesh is telling me or what God's Word is telling me, they can't both be right because they're saying two different things. So what I've got to do is begin to captivate my thought life and cast down thoughts that say God's Word's not true, God's not right. No, I need to cast that down. You can't be healed. You can't be blessed. You can't be saved. You can't be forgiven when God says you can't. Isn't that right? I need to sit at Jesus' feet and hear what he has to say, and I need to still the voices that contradict what Jesus says. Or as David said in Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, or stands in the way of the sinner, or sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, this blessed man, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that brings forth its fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now think of the decisions that that man made. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He will not hear that. He's not going to listen to that. He's going to tune that out. I think you do need to tune things out. You need to tune the devil out. You need to tune doubt out. You need to tune fear out. Amen? And then, you know, the counsel of God, the way of the sin, the way of the sinner, seat and see the scornful. Tune that out. But then you need to tune this in. Your delight. Everybody say delight. Because you will focus in on what you delight in. Isn't that right? I mean, you let somebody start talking about hunting, boy, I'll tell you, the hunters come out of the woodwork. Huh? Somebody say hunt? What? Everybody's a friend. Don't never met the guy. We're talking hunting just like that. We're just like we're best friends all of our life because we've got a common ground, common interest, or something we desire, something we want. See? Well, we ought to see the benefit of God's Word. And somebody says something about the Bible or a scripture's quoted or we read it, we wake up. Hey, wait a minute. This is, whoa, 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 this is God's Word here. Man, I love God. I love His Word. Oh, I need that. What's He saying to me today? And when the no, you can't comes, cast it down. Amen? Captivate. And I like the way He says this. We even fight to capture every thought until it acknowledges the authority of Christ. Ooh, hallelujah. Man, that's good. That's good stuff. See, you're going to have to get still and give your attention to the Word. That's why it's good to get away sometimes, maybe, you know, in a quiet time. I don't know when that is, in the morning or evening or whatever. Got a bunch of kids. It's a challenge, I know. Close the door or whatever. Get in the closet so you can focus. Amen. Get in your car or whatever it is you got to do. But this is too important, okay? It's way too important to not give it our full attention. Psalms 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." If we don't get still, we just run right by God. And that scripture just runs right by us and we don't get it. You know, I'm amazed. I read the Bible all the time. I mean, I don't know how many times I've read the Bible. I really don't. There's books I've read 30 times in 30 days and 100 times in 100 days. I mean, I've taken just an individual book and read the whole book, you know, and do it 30 times in 30 days, and not counting just reading the Bible as a whole. I've read the Bible in different translations. I've read several different translations of the Bible. But I'm amazed. Been pastoring for over 30 years. But I read the Bible every day. But I'm still amazed. I'll run across a verse that just lights my fire. Whew. All these years and all my study and all my reading, I can never exhaust the riches of God's Word. I still have an awesome respect for it. I still have an anticipation when I read it that I'm going to get something. I'm convinced I need it. I'm convinced I have got to have God's Word. I like food. I got to eat food to live. I got to read God's Word to make it. I got to. And I don't believe I know it all. I don't believe I've heard it all. I believe there are still nuggets in here. Hallelujah. And I'm always finding them. I'm always running across them. You know, I run across a verse, I think, I've read that verse I don't know how many times, but something in there just jumped at me. Something just went, hey, hold it. Before you go on, you know, did you see that? And I go, whoa, I didn't see that. That's awesome. But see, I'm tuning my hearing in. I'm tuning my hearing in where I can hear what God has to say to me. And I don't think that stops. I think that gets better year. I'm here to tell you, I'm more excited about God than I've ever been. I'm more excited about His Word than I've ever been. I love His Word more than I've ever loved it. And I've always had a hunger for the Word after I got saved. I mean, I've had a great respect for the Word. But I'm developing my hearing. Amen? And that's what we need to do. Hey, let me wrap this up. I wrote some things down here, and I've been saying them over and over throughout this as I'm teaching it. The reason we listen and give attention to things, this is something that we ought to examine in our life. And this will help you if you want to hear God more, if you want to get more out of the Scripture, then you're going to have to place more value on it in your life. This is too important, okay? Don't get lackadaisical about God's Word. Don't get numb to it. Oh, I've heard it all before. No, you hadn't. You hadn't heard it all. I hadn't heard it all. None of us heard it all. Are you with me? And besides that, even if I had heard it all, I don't remember everything I heard. How about you? I think as I get older, I'll spend most of my time trying to remember what I heard, you know. and it's what I've heard before that I knew then and I forgot that I remember again now that's helping me. So even though I heard it before, I need to hear it again. But I got to put value on it. See, if you got to see value in what God says, or you're not going to hear it clearly, loudly. You're not going to get what you need out of it. And then you got to put trust in it. I mean, you have to trust God's Word that it really does work. A great value in the Word, but you have to develop a trust. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word, see? And it's just an endless cycle. If you don't put faith in it, you're not going to hear it. If you don't hear it, you're not going to put faith in it. Amen? So develop a trust. I mean, have you trusted God in the last week or so? Have you actually stood on a scripture? Have you prayed about anything in particular? Have you turned anything over to Him? Ask yourself that question. You know, that's a tragedy if we hadn't done that, but it's not the end of the world. You can start today. Amen. Have you prayed about your family? Have you prayed about your marriage? Have you prayed about your business? Have you prayed about your body, your finances? Have you prayed about the church? Have you prayed for anybody? I mean, we ought to develop a trust, a dependency. We need God. We need Him moving in our lives. We need God's Word. I need to know what He has to say so I can stand on it and believe it and trust it. Amen? Great value is in it. So develop value, trust, and then, of course, a desire. You know, you ought to look forward to getting in the Word, going to church. It shouldn't be a drudgery. It shouldn't be work in that sense. It's something you ought to want to do. You know, when concert comes to town, if it's somebody you listen to, everybody gets excited about going and hearing them. Well, you know, hey, Jesus is in the house. Yep. Yeah. He's in the house Sunday, Wednesday. He's in the house. Hallelujah. Man, I'm going to go to church and get me something this week. Praise God. I'm going to get blessed. I'm going to get a charge. I'm going to get encouraged. I'm going to get, you know, get back on top of things and just roll the clouds of darkness away and the depression and the dismay and discouragement. No, I'm done with it. I'm going to church. Hallelujah. I'm going to come out better than I went in. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So develop your desire for it. Recognize your need for it. And then want. Want change in your life. You know, I used to say this. In fact, I think Rodney Howard Brown said it. Every church service you go to, and every time you come read the Bible, every time you pray, you ought to come with two things in mind. You ought to come hungry, and you ought to come willing to be changed. Are you with me? You're not hungry, you're not going to get anything. If you're not wanting to change, you're not going to change. But every service, you ought to come hungry, and you ought to come willing to be changed. Isn't that good? That's why I come to the Bible. That's why I come to church. I come hungry for what God has said to me, and I say, God, change me. Make me more like You. Make me more like Jesus. Make me a better husband. Make me a better father. Make me a better pastor. Make me a better Christian. Come on, help me, Lord. Help me. Let me hone off these edges. I need to change. I need it. I'm not where I need to be. None of us are. I'm born again. I love God. I'm going to heaven, yeah, but you know what? I can improve, and you can too. And the value you place on God's Word will determine how well you hear what He's saying and heed the instruction that He is giving you. Hallelujah. If you hear, well, He'll give you more. If you have an ear to hear. And I want to have that hearing ear. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, E-A-R, Brenda said this many times, and we heard it years ago. A hearing ear, E-A-R, expect, anticipate, and receive. A hearing ear expects, it anticipates, and it receives. That's the kind of ear I want to come to church with.